6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Friday. That's right, April 29th, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour for the second hour. Tomorrow is the last day of April, and guess what? It's going to be a black moon. That's right, there's two new moons in the month of April, the 1st and the 30th, believe it or not. I was just given that little tidbit of information from my lovely wife, and black moon. I wonder what that means. It's going to be pitch black outside? No, I don't know about that. It could be. I don't know. No, probably not. Oh, it's a crazy day, Friday. You know, feel good Friday, and it's cash Friday today when you go to the Power Mall, too, which is a good thing. Mark in Iowa, good morning, or good afternoon, I should say now, because you're in Central Time, too, are you not? And what's going on in your world?
Yes, sir. You know, I was the one to ask you about, you know, I found a scripture, because Hebrew language is past, present, and future tense. And, you know, when you were talking about the viper, snake venom and the vaccination, you know, I'm always curious to try to find scripture. And what's really interesting in the Song of Moses, I want just everybody to read this, but the Song of Moses is written to Israel in the future tense, the present tense now that we're living in. And in the Song of Moses, which is Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's for the end of the age. And you can actually find, it says here in verse 28 in the Song of Moses, it says, "But did not Jehovah do it? For the race was bereft of its senses." You know, people are bereft of their senses with all this stuff with COVID, and had no understanding left. And then it goes on to say, and here it says, "Our foes being judged themselves, for their vine is the true vine, the stock of Sodom, for Gomorrah blasted farm. Its bunches are bunches of poisons, bitter clusters of grapes it yields. Their wine is the venom of serpents, and the poisons of deadly asps." And this is like in the Song of Moses, which is really very, you know, not just any scripture, but deals with God's people, Israel, the United States, in the last days. And it's like, here you go. It's in the scriptures. This poison, the snake venom.
That's an interesting take scripturally there, Mark. It's really interesting reading comments this morning when I was sifting through news, world news, when I was looking and seeing the prime minister from Israel, Naftali Bennett, is talking about the fact that everything that happened with the Holocaust, because apparently they were memorializing Holocaust victims and survivors, and saying that it's in their genetics. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, now it might be in the scripture. Because the fact that, you know, we have all this understanding or misunderstanding, and that's what you were just alluding to, the thing that really gets me is that when you allude to stuff like this and people basically are diverting from the truth because they lack understanding, it's not just a matter of wanting to seek the truth, which is something that the scriptures always advocate. But then when you're dealing in a situation where we are deliberately dumbed down and are told by our very own government, on one hand, that the Holocaust is all part of our genetic makeup. And on the other hand, they say, well, you need to go get the jab because we need to do everything to protect ourselves. Israel is one of the countries that we look at as far as data goes, because our own country here won't give us that information. So we have to look where 95 to 98% of the entire nation of Israel is vaccinated more than once with boosters. And they've got major outbreaks. Everybody's getting it. Talk about lack of understanding, sir. I think that alludes right to your point.
Yeah, it says like here in verse 28, it says, "But did not Jehovah do it? For the race was bereft of its senses and has no understanding left." And that's, you know, people are just, they just don't have any discernment. They don't have any understanding. They're not able to discern between good and evil.
And this is why we pray for America, folks, because we don't want to end up like what is talked about in the scriptures. I mean, the basics of even Corinthians, when I talk about that, and Paul is writing to the church at Corinth telling them, look, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. I mean, literally, the word of God comes right out and tells you that. You are smart. I gave you a sound mind. What is your problem? You know, he comes right out and admonishes you. And, he, you know, to me, the word of God And people can deny this. If they want to be deniers, let them. I don't care. We call them reprobates in this day and age because they know to do better, yet they choose not to. And that's why we have LGBTQ and everybody else. Now, the media empire we're hearing, their CNN Plus, the same ones that did that, are now pushing a new show for drag queens. Just thought you might know that. This is what I'm talking about, reprobates. And as I'm talking about this, all of a sudden this stuff pops up. And, you know, what people do in the privacy of their home is one thing, but taking it out in public, parading it in front of our children, enticing our children to behave like that, to go to school and go to a TG closet and dress up and come out as a different sex and role play all day is just leading up to the worst, darkest thing I can think of, and that's basically exposing them to teachers who are pedophiles. And this is a sad state of affairs scripturally for everybody, Mark.
Well, yeah, I would suggest everybody to read the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 32, because it's very relevant right now, because it's for the time that we're living in, the end of the age, and the second coming of Christ and the resurrection and the marriage supper of the Lamb. But, yeah, this is, and it says right here, in verse 35, it says, when the time of their punishment comes, when their day of distress approaches, its agents are ready, prepared. God is, you know, going to separate the wheat from the tares, but he's also going to put the tares in the fire. Read Psalm 21. They're going to be put in the fire and burned.
Very true. Well, we appreciate your input, and thank you for the scripture this morning. A lot of us probably needed to hear that. In some ways, it does make you feel good to know that the Almighty is paying attention to what is going on down here. Sometimes I think, you know, when he looks down, he's shaking his head, going, come on, people. You know, you gotta worship me. This is the way it is. You gotta have faith. It's the Greek word pistis. You know, we're talking about Hebrew. You know, we're talking about Christ who spoke Esdrangelo Aramaic. You know, we've had several people on the show that talk about your walk with the Father, in addition to behaving like the Son and walking around blameless. It's very difficult for people to do that, given the world we live in, and we have everybody at every turn pushing our buttons and irritating us over every little thing. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be even the littlest things. And, you know, drowning yourself in alcohol or overdoing it in pills or smoking pot or whatever it is you want to do to relax, you know, how many of you actually get right and just open the good book and read it? You know, because obviously this is something that, you know, we try to basically infuse a little bit of the scripture and the word, which we appreciate our callers like Mark that actually are taking the time to do a little research and come to the understanding of exactly what we're living in these times, these weird times. And see, when you're working the scriptures, I can tell you this for a certainty. God has a purpose for every single thing he says, where he says it, why he says it, how he says it, and to whom he says it, and when he says it. And if you look in the Old Testament was written for our learning. The New Testament was written for our understanding and application. That's the point here. You can look at what the end times are, you know, is being talked about by the latter prophets. But then when you want to look and you want to get inspired, you look in the New Testament scriptures, and I'm talking about the book of Acts forward, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in my book, in my world, is the end of the stories of Christ and his walk on this earth and how we're supposed to be like him and what will happen afterwards and how we will see him and be like he is after it's all said and done. This is described every place after the book of Acts. Acts is the start of the new church. If you read about that, all of the people gathered together in one place and they heard people speaking each to his own tongue, and they knew the more of them not knew why they were come together. They were all confused because they heard people speaking the word of God in their own language as all these hundreds of thousands of people gathered together on what is known as the day of Pentecost. Now, not to get on my biblical horse here, but you see, God has a purpose for keeping us in the straight and narrow and focusing on what is true, what is right, what is prudent. And that's why we have Feel Good Friday, is because, you know, we get to talk about, you know, not just Cash Friday and the fact you can go on the Power Mall and get 10% off, in addition to everything else that's on sale. But, you know, we also try to inspire you to do the right thing and walk in the Spirit, walk in love, even though sometimes I know it's not the easiest thing to do because we're human. But speaking of humans, I have a good story for you, and this is one of the reasons why I really only fly Southwest when I absolutely have to. Here's a story from Southwest Airlines, and this is good news, all right? We're including this in a PDF in case you missed any of it. Last Tuesday, Pam and Jeremy joked that they should hop on a plane and get married in Las Vegas. You know, a lot of people do. They go to the wedding chapel out there, and they get married by Elvis. Oh, viva Da Nang. You know that? Remember that? Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam. It wasn't long before both realized that the other wasn't actually kidding. So what do? They book a flight for Sunday on one of the competitors with a Vegas wedding chapel appointment Sunday night. Come Sunday, the couple arrived to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport from Oklahoma City just to learn that their connection to LAS, Las Vegas, was canceled. But that's when their bad luck ended. Chris, who was another passenger traveling to Las Vegas from DFW, overheard Pam and Jeremy discussing how they might still get to Vegas in time for their appointment. Chris also happened to be an ordained minister and offered to marry the couple himself. The three went online, snatched up the last three seats to Vegas on a Southwest flight, and hurried together across town to Dallas Love Field, where Southwest operates out of. As they boarded the flight, their pilot, Captain Gill, noticed Pam's wedding dress and asked her about it. Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention Pam and Jeremy were in their full wedding attire just for the fun of it. They were going to jump off the plane, hop in a cab, go to the wedding chapel, and get married. So Pam explains their story and jokes with Captain Gill they should just get married on the flight. For the second time that week, Pam was surprised to hear the words, "Let's do it." The flight crew, you got to love these people. Southwest flight crew sprung into action with toilet paper streamers and a snack mix sash for Chris. And we're not talking peanut class here anymore, folks. Julie, one of the flight attendants, stood in as Pam's maid of honor. A professional photographer on the flight pulled out her camera for official wedding photos, of which we included one of them for you. Another passenger passed around an old notebook for the whole cabin to sign with well wishes and their seat numbers, which was given to the bride and groom as a makeshift guest book. Talk about a passenger manifest. It actually means something. Congrats to the newlyweds on a memorable in-flight wedding. Neither our employees nor passengers are likely to forget. We can't wait to welcome you back aboard the Love Airline with hashtag Southwest Heart. And there's a picture of Pam and Jeremy with Chris, the minister, and the flight attendant with a bouquet of flowers, and they're doing the right there in the cabin right by the exit. This is totally cool, right up in the front where everybody can see them. I'm sure they got a standing I mean, they see, these are good stories. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about here amongst all the crazy things that are happening in this world today. I had to bring that up because, you know, it's one of these really good things that, you know, real good stuff happens when people are paying attention. And you look for good things out of people rather than the negative. And see, they made a bad thing into a good thing. Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't get to go to the wedding chapel and have Elvis marry him or whatever the case may be. But at least, you know, their wedding ceremony was indeed memorable. A federal informant in the Trump investigation who worked with federal authorities investigating links between former President Trump and Deutsche Bank was found dead in Los Angeles on Monday. I know what you're all thinking. Ooh, somebody offed him. L.A. County coroner said Val Brokesmith was pronounced dead at 7 a.m., according to authorities, but they don't suspect foul play. The 46-year-old man was homeless. Coroner's office didn't elaborate on the cause of death. Brokesmith was last seen driving a red Mini Cooper in April of 2021 on Riverside Drive. He was later reported missing by his relatives. A 2019 New York Times report said Brokesmith was the son of a Deutsche Bank executive who died via suicide in 2014. Later in 2019, Brokesmith told the Forensic News Network He acquired emails of his late father, Bill Brokesmith, and said that I informed the FBI about several of Deutsche Bank's loans to Trump. While speaking to the outlet at the time, Brokesmith, who was born in Ukraine, said he spoke to the Department of Justice in 2016 and said, I'm writing in hopes of speaking to somebody at the DOJ in reference to the evidence I have showing major fraud at one of the world's largest banks. Reports also indicated Brokesmith allegedly provided documents to journalists in Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS was notably hired by a law firm that was hired by the Clinton campaign in 2016, which in turn hired former UK spy Christopher Steele to concoct the infamous and discredited Steele dossier against Trump. Forensic News Network journalist Scott Stedman reacted to Brokesmith's debt, writing on Twitter, I don't suspect foul play. Val struggled with drugs on and off. So you see, there's a place and a time when things come to an end for those who fall away. In just minutes after Donald Trump was sworn in as president, January of 2017, Free Speech for People. This is a nonprofit group working with Roots Action, another obscure left-wing activist group, launched the website ImpeachDonaldTrumpNow.org. The Trump impeachment website remains live today, but PFS has moved on from years of seeking to drive the embattled Trump from the Oval Office to now trying to remove four of his strongest congressional supporters from their respective November 2022 ballots. One of those, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Madison Cawthorn, yep, Arizona State Rep Mark Fincham, Representatives Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar, and they're getting shut down. A total of 91 grants to PFS from left-wing foundations with a value in excess of $7.3 million were found by CRC. It's an investigative group using the Foundation Search database. So, you know, it's really strange. You wonder where they're getting money from. It's from people who don't value our freedom and liberty. Former top FBI attorney James Baker, who now serves as Twitter's deputy general counsel, all of a sudden has had a spotlight thrown on him after billionaire Elon Musk, who recently negotiated a deal to buy Twitter, responded to comments about Baker's past actions during the FBI's Russia investigation in 2016. On April 26, a day after Musk reportedly reached an agreement with Twitter, filmmaker Mike Cernovich wrote on Twitter, Baker, during his time as FBI general counsel, personally arranged a meeting with cybersecurity attorney Michael Sussman, who at the time was working for the Clinton campaign. In the meeting, Sussman presented fabricated evidence in the Alpha Bank matter, Cernovich wrote. Sussman was charged last year by special counsel John Durham for lying to Baker during that meeting. Sounds pretty bad, Musk responded on Twitter to the Cernovich post. According to court documents, it was Sussman who asked for the meeting, which took place in September of 2016 at FBI headquarters. The two men knew each other from their time working in the DOJ criminal division. Sussman emailed Baker he was going to meeting, not representing any client, but in fact, he billed the time to the presidential campaign and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Durham alleges that this was a material lie, which means it had a natural tendency or was capable to affect government decisions. And you see, this is the whole thing behind the investigation. 18 USC 1001. Look up that statute, because when you find more and more people getting into bed with Sussman and others, you have a criminal conspiracy. And this is where Durham is going with this. I just know it. And if you are one of these unlucky immigrants trying to get smuggled across the border in Texas, this is a situation you don't want to face. Really, Rio Grande Valley Sector Border Patrol agents found a group of 40 migrants trapped inside a metal box on a conveyance trailer at an interior immigration checkpoint. The migrants were inside the sealed box with no means of escape. Agents assigned to the Falfurrias Border Patrol checkpoint located in Brooks County on U.S. Highway 281 observed a tractor trailer hauling a large metal boxes approaching on April 26 for inspection during an initial interview and search. A canine alerted to the possible presence of drug or human cargo inside one of the metal boxes. And, of course, the agents referred the driver to the secondary inspection area for further evaluation. And as they inspected the large metal boxes, they found a 6-by-16-inch vent. They removed it and found 40 migrants in a seating position trapped inside. The box had no other means of opening or escape. So they got him out. They found a power tool they utilized to remove multiple bolts holding the box together and remove the 40 migrants from the box and began the processing of medically screening and identifying them. The agents identified the migrants as citizens of Mexico and Central American nations. All were unlawfully present in the U.S. And this is the crazy part of this whole thing. This is just the latest example of cruelty of these human smugglers, according to Brooks County Sheriff Benny Martinez. There's no way these migrants could have gotten out of the box without somebody on the outside using power tools to take it apart, according to the sheriff. They place these migrants in grave danger of dehydration or heat exhaustion, and their actions could have led to the deaths of 40 people. So you see, I guess it was a good thing that they had their canine German Shepherd out there, because I'll tell you what, the females, having raised German Shepherds, have much better senses of smell. They smell bombs, drugs, and gunpowder, all sorts of stuff they can be trained to sniff out. That's one of the beauties of being able to handle shepherds like we did when we were raising them, and being able to sell the females to police departments and border patrol, because we knew they were going to go for a good purpose. And you see, it paid off. For those paying attention to the economy, and I don't know how you could help not paying attention to the economy, the U.S. economy contracted at an annualized pace of 1.4% in the first quarter, well below market expectations of 1.1% growth. The GDP reported on April 28th, that was yesterday, by the Commerce Department, marks the first negative growth since the second quarter of 2020 and a dramatic reversal from a 6.9% increase in the previous quarter. Here's something on a positive note, though. Spending by consumers and businesses continued at a healthy pace, according to a chief economist at Bank of the West, which accounts for a significant portion of the U.S. GDP. Consumer spending increased at an annualized 2.7% rate, while business equipment jumped by 15.3%. I guess people are bolstering, waiting for the future, trying to help things out, which is, that's a good thing. We'll be back with more news and your phone calls after this break. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Balls today, 12:31 right now, Central Time, Friday, the day before the last day of the month, and our black moon. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing it, actually. You might not see it. That's why they call it a black moon.
Duh.
Okay. Dave Krieger with you. Phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. And really, they are open for those of you who have us on speed dial. Wanted to give you kind of a little bit of insight into the way the other side is thinking since we are on this major war. And I keep saying, and people keep telling me, at least some of them, not all of them, a lot of them believe me when I say that the powers that be out there, and I'm talking about the World Economic Forum and everybody else, the World Health Organization, some of the nefarious souls in our government, are out to depopulate the United States and the rest of the world by whatever means necessary, because they think only 500,000 people, or 500 million rather, need to exist in this world. So they can be their slaves and do their beck and call, and, you know, they've determined that they know everything and we know nothing. They think we're all stupid. Well, the first drug approved in the U.S. to treat COVID-19, remdesivir, this is going to shock the conscience. It's just been given the go-ahead by the FDA for babies aged 28 days and up, saying that the virus can cause severe illness in babies who haven't been vaccinated against it. The FDA said this will be a safe and effective COVID-19 treatment option for them. As a reminder, science reported over a year ago that the World Health Organization found remdesivir does not reduce mortality or the time COVID-19 patients take to recover. Not only that, but when the FDA first approved it in late 2020, in a review investigation of the drug, science also learned the antiviral surprisingly had no impact on the levels of the coronavirus. In a separate post-marketing report, the journal Cardiovascular Toxicology found in late 2021, remdesivir is connected with cardiotoxicity that includes sinus bradycardia, hypotension, T-wave abnormalities, AF, and prolonged QT interval. What does all this mean? Well, we already know, if you've listened to Dr. Brian Artis, who has been on the show, remdesivir is pretty deadly stuff. People who have COVID, you know, and they give them remdesivir, their kidneys shut down. And Dr. Brian Artis is alleging that there is snake venom in the remdesivir. Now, you're going to give that to your baby? You're going to let them give it to your baby in the hospital? What kind of parent are you to let them do that? That's my question. You got a comment on that? 844-769-2944. I'd love to hear it. I think it's irresponsible for parents to just trust the government for every bloody thing in their lives. It's bad enough that the Biden administration is wanting for all of our student loans to be just forgiven. Little Bernie the Snake Sanders, the little commie pig, says, oh yeah, we just need to pay off everybody's student loan. Let we the people pay it off. So everybody, I mean, there's $66 billion in student loans right now. The burden is upon people average age 60 and over. They are responsible for repaying $66 billion worth of student loan debt. And now they want to basically just eliminate all student loan debt. If I was a banker or I was a trust where I had investors, because all these student loans are securitized into 20,000 different trusts, I'd be foaming at the mouth. I'd be calling up and complaining. What are you people, idiots? No, these people, you know, need to, if they think there's so much value in their bloody college education, let them pay for it. Why should we the people have to pay for that? That makes absolutely zero sense, but hey, that's the way that this scarecrow administration is operating these days. Everything they do makes zero sense. Even the way they talk makes zero sense. They can't even talk in complete sentences without falling apart on camera or laughing. You know, sometimes you want to turn on the TV and just turn the sound down and watch him and sit there and play the sound from The Wizard of Oz. Who? Follow the Olympic Road. Follow the Olympic Road. Yeah, it doesn't work. These people don't have a clue. But they have an agenda, and the agenda is they want to own your kids. Psychological obedience training is being used to control the global population from cradle to grave. We have proof of it right here. The technocratic elite are after our kids, and they're using a variety of psyops to shape and mold them. The more we know, the better we can protect ourselves and our kids from these predators, which is exactly what they are. And here's the thing. The Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, H.R. 3684, grants control over what and when you drive to the transportation system. It will control the type of vehicle you can use and when you can drive. It will control the vehicle-to-grid 5G technology, and its kill switches will be built in. The bill includes an integrated payment system and a per-mile driving fee. The effort to control you starts from birth. Social-emotional learning, SEL, is a programming effort that uses relabeling and changing of words to alter perception of reality and mold children's beliefs and behaviors. You see, I was talking about this at the beginning of the show. Now we're getting there, because now we want to collect and analyze your child's personal data to build their social credit score. The more they behave according to the way the system wants it, the more leniency they are granted to do what they want. But the data collection by these miscreants includes behavioral information such as scientific, financial, cultural, and civic literacy, and competencies such as critical thinking skills, problem solving, creativity, communication, and collaboration, plus character qualities such as curiosity, initiative, persistence, grit, adaptability, leadership, social, and cultural awareness. Boy, you know, it sounds like they want to mold your kid into something not human. And unless we refuse to comply or participate, those social credit scores and climate scores are going to become a reality here, and you won't be able to do a damn thing in life. You might be able to sit on your acreage, but at some point in time, they're going to come for you. Will you be ready to defend what you have? Tom in Michigan, you're on the line. What's going on?
Yeah, you hit my button with the student loan thing.
I bet I did.
Well, it makes sense to me in a certain sense.
And the
whole idea is that it's been predatory lending. And it isn't the bankers that lose on this. What happened was the government insured all of this debt, all this student debt. The government will pay the bankers, okay? The trouble is there's no way to bankruptcy out of it. So the bankers make the loan, and, you know, they don't care because they're going to get paid, and they don't even tell people that, hey, there's no way to bankruptcy out of this. And so consequently, they've created a problem that basically I can't really see a reasonable solution to it. You know, if you talk about the scriptures, and in the scriptures, there was every 7 years, debts were forgiven. Every 50 years, everything went back to the original owners. And presumably, this is their antitrust. So what I'm trying to say, I guess it's on a different thread, but capitalism doesn't work.
No, that's a debt jubilee. You were referring to a debt jubilee. That's what you're referring to. Yeah.
Well, every 7 years, there's a debt jubilee, but every after the 49th year, that's 7 sevens, each family, they kept meticulous records of the house, different families, and each family had a certain amount of land, and they could sell that land, but they got it back after that 49th year in the jubilee. And so, I mean, if you sold your land after 48 years, you wouldn't get as much for it because the poor person who bought it knew that they'd have to give it back after a year. So all I'm saying is if I say, well, capitalism doesn't work, that doesn't mean that Marxism works. And that's what the Marxists are doing now, is that they'll say, well, capitalism doesn't work. And, you know, and the wheels are turning around in my head. And, well, yeah, something's goofed up here. All these super billionaires are starting to own everything. And, you know, we're all going to be renting and things like of that nature. But that doesn't mean Marxism works. It just means we're not smart enough to figure out a way out of this. And add to that that there's too many people that are getting filthy rich on the other end of it. But back to the student loan thing, why I called in. Yeah, that's when the government guarantees that the bankers that they're going to get paid, and then there's no bankruptcy protection. A free market, when a lender has to do due diligence and look at the person they're lending to, and that's why they figure out interest rates and whether they're going to lend the money or not, what kind of collateral they want. Well, the bankers didn't have to do that with the student loan, and it's a lot like the liar loans on the subprime.
Oh yeah,
you know that's. So I mean, that's like the 50,000 foot view from here, and that's just another problem that, you know, that we're not, as humans, we're not smart enough to figure out. They should have.
Well, no, I mean,
you know,
Tom,
we weren't smart enough to see it coming, and should have seen it coming.
We figured this out, Tom. We have figured this out. There's 20,000 student loan trusts that operate the same way as these mortgage REMICs. They're real estate mortgage investment conduits, and basically what happens is they find all these investors, they get all their money, they entice them with 424B5 prospectuses, the investors invest in it, and the loans are basically insured by the banking entities themselves so that when a borrower defaults, the insurance pays off. And when the insurance paid off, the investors are made whole, yet the servicers keep collecting interest from, and this is the banks, even though they've been made whole, the investors have been made whole. Now the banks just go in, ignoring the fact that the investors have been made whole and that they don't have a case. They go in, the servicers go in, no contract whatsoever, like Navient, who just had to give back $1.7 billion in student loan debt, had to forgive it, because it misled consumers. And when you got people like that out there, these loan servicers, and they're basically saying, oh, well, we have the right to collect the debt. Well, wait a minute. First off, who do you represent? And this is the thing people forget, Tom. They forget who they're representing when they go into court. They have an attorney. The attorney goes in and says, I'm representing this servicer, Navient or whatever the case may be. And it's like, look, you know, who are you really representing? Where'd you get the money from? Where did the money come from? Is this in a trust? See, we get discovery when these lawsuits get filed and people seem to forget it. They just capitulate every time they get a threatening phone call from a student loan debt collector, and it ends up on their credit report. It sucks, but this is the way the game is played, and people who are ignorant of it and don't understand that the investors have to prove that they've been harmed and haven't been harmed. I mean, this is the beauty about Texas. The one thing I found out from an attorney here in a conversation last night I had over mortgage foreclosure is Texas has adopted the jurisprudence of Spokio versus Robbins, which is a Ninth Circuit case that went to the U.S. Supreme Court that said, unless you can prove an actual injury in fact, you don't have a case. End of story. So that's what makes that work, Tom.
So I mean, is that correct, though, that the people who get caught in this trap are slaves to paying that interest or that usury for the rest of their lives?
Pretty much, yeah, they are slaves to the rhythm. That's just the way it is. And, I mean, they are trapped in a debt of their own making because they were led to believe that a college education was the way to go. Now I think everybody is starting to realize different.
Yeah, but were they told that there was no bankruptcy remedy? You know,
True. Every
other kind of debt, either, I mean, a mortgage, they take the house and hey, that's all, you know, you take your fresh start, or you declare a bankruptcy and you take your fresh start. But the student loan, somehow, from my understanding, there's no such protection in there.
Well, you know what I like to do? Here's a thought. Just analyze this. Somebody, you legal minds out there, analyze this. Say, for example, that you let the student loan company, right? As long as the debt exists, right? You owe it. Now, let's say you let them foreclose on you or take you to court, and they sue you for non-payment of the student loan debt, and they get a judgment against you, which sits on your record. What does the judge do when he renders a judgment? He cancels the loan, which means the loan has now been converted into a money judgment that the lender can now turn around and collect. Once that judgment is hit the books, why can't people bankrupt it then? Because it's no longer a debt. It's a judgment. It's been converted into a judicial realm. Why don't they bankrupt it then? Are people not thinking about the consequences of this?
I can't answer your question.
There's what I mean, Tom. You know, I'm throwing it out there on the table. I don't give legal advice on the show. I'm just a paralegal, but I'm trying to get outside the box with this idea, Tom. Because, you know, when we start talking and you start putting that on the table, I start thinking, you know, I've heard of attorneys that have been unable to seek any kind of employment. There's a few of them that have been able to discharge their student loan debts. Law school. The attorneys seem to manage to find ways of getting their debt discharged, but the hell with the rest of us. Here's the problem. It doesn't really matter because it negatively affects the economy no matter what they do or what people do. If they get a judgment against you, I've heard of people waiting until they get the judgment. One attorney in Chicago made a deal with a homeowner on their house, and they went to the lender rather than letting the lender foreclose. They went to the lender, and the attorney says, hey, I'll tell you what. We will stipulate to judgment. And right after, and they're going, really? Really? You'll let us take judgment against you? Yeah. 28 days later, they filed bankruptcy and they got to keep the house. Go figure. How that works.
Yeah.
So like I said, I'm just throwing it out there, Tom. Thanks for your call. Patrice, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm trying to rationalize my way out of a student debt. I've already paid my student loan off. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, here's two things, I think. First of all, I think the whole thing was designed to make these kids slaves because paid off, they're going to owe the government something, like their life. The second thing is I would have never signed up for any of those loans unless the quid pro quo was, then you're going to guarantee me a job so I can pay it off.
Sounds like a plan.
That's my input on the subject matter.
Good. Well, I like it. I like the input. It's good input. Yeah, I really think that the colleges, if they really were serious about this, they would, when the students came to them, and think about this idea, Patrice, the students came to them, they said, well, I think I want to major in forestry. And if I were the counselor, I said, look, there really aren't any positions in forestry right now, and you'd be getting a student loan. How are you going to pay it back? Have you thought about that? No. They don't bother teaching mortgage 101 in high school, and this is why we have such a stupid, illiterate populace out there of young people that don't know their butt from a hole in the ground, can't make reasonable financial decisions, and get themselves in situations like this. Am I wrong thinking that?
No, because they don't even offer any of what they used to offer in high school for people who wouldn't go on, you know, to know how to balance a budget or do a checkbook. I do know my daughter had a class like that in high school. They had to have their own checkbook. They ran like a company and stuff. So they got some understanding of fiscal responsibility. But, yeah, well, why should we be paying for people going for basket weaving degrees? It's ridiculous.
Yes, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I mean, that's about as useless as forestry right now. You know, given the nature of things and how we're all trying to survive out there.
Yeah, that's on them.
Thank you for that.
Sure.
You mm-hmm. you and about 80 Thanks. Million other people out there agree with everything you just said. We appreciate your call. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines are open. 844-769-2944 is the number to call. We still have a few minutes left of our show today. Feel Good Friday. Hey, feel good means get it off your chest. So if you got something you want to say, you know, we don't want our kids being taken over by these lunatics. Robert in Illinois, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Dave. How about yourself, sir?
Doing fabulous. Thanks so much for asking. What's on your mind?
Well, this isn't so feel good, but speaking of the student loan, how they're bringing it up again. Look,
yep.
Dead people do not pay back loans. And if you followed, I'm sure you've heard of it, Edward Dowd, how he's been collecting all the insurance data and so on. He's speaking about all the millennials during this time of COVID and especially around the jabs, and they're following the charts that he says upwards, and this information is already a month old, that upwards of 61,000 millennials have already perished, lost their lives since the jabs were released. And that's not even mentioning the treatments and so forth. Dead people do not pay back loans. So what are they going to do? They're going to cover it up by saying the loan forgiveness bill. All day. They're covering.
Well, no, I get that. Now, here's the thing. Everything you say just triggers a question in my brain. Have you done the research as to how many of those 61,000 millennials that are dead, how many of them had student loans that are not going to be paid? Do we know?
Of course we don't. I'm not.
That's an interesting question to be asking. Yeah, that'd be an interesting question for the DOE, because the Department of Education monitors all this stuff, and I sure as the hell would want to know, wouldn't you? I mean, people are all of a sudden facing that burden.
Well, we got to think, okay, just the deductive reasoning here. A lot of those millennials were offered the student loans. A great percentage of them said, free money? Sure. Whether they graduated or not, they took the money. Very few of these people actually were able to pay it off in full and or worked it off or had pre-planning to do it. So we got to say a great percentage of them, took the free money, what they thought was free. That's all.
Sad, isn't it? Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for your input, Robert, on that. I'm glad to know about the 61,000 figure because I think, as far as the millennials, I think our death toll is like around 2.8 million right now at this point in time in America of all the people that have perished because they went out and did something foolish like get the jab because they believed everything their college told them. Oh, we'll get back to the new normal as long as everybody goes and gets a jab. Can I do my Homer Simpson now? Go! Chance in West Virginia, how are you, sir? What's going on? What's happening in your world?
Yes, hello, Dave. I just had a call and congratulate you. Every day is a learning experience with your show, and you have the most amazing callers, and I just wanted to throw that out there, and you have a blessed weekend now, Dave.
You do the same thing, sir. Enjoy the new moon, the black moon tomorrow. We appreciate you. And you're right. We do have the most interesting callers. We have very educated callers, and the thing we all have in common, Chance? We give a damn. All of us care about what goes down in America. That's the beauty of this show, and we appreciate you, sir. You have a great weekend, too. So, folks, this is the thing. You got a California COVID-19 testing company called Same Day Health. They have agreed to pay back $22 million fine for faking the test results. In some instances, patients were given the results before their tests even reached the processing lab. You talk about student loans not being fair. How fair is that? And a 15-year-old boy who was targeted by an allegedly false rumor that he was unvaccinated was bullied, and he committed suicide. According to a lawsuit filed by his parents, Robert and Rosaline Bronston accused administrators of the Latin School of Chicago, a private college prep school, of committing willful failure to stop the incessant bullying of the boy. They said the harassment led to the teen taking his own life. Rosaline, the mom, confirmed her 15-year-old son, Nate, took his own life in January of this year. He was very sweet and very kind. He had a really big heart. He always worried about others. Their lawsuit names the school, a number of employees, and the parents of the alleged bullies for this willful behavior. Well, they use Snapchat. That's what I remember about that article. Folks, it gets crazy out there when you have a media that can turn people against each other. And this is the thing. They tested the stuff. They tested the stuff. They knew that challenging people, they could get into a big argument over the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, and this would be the way that they could get American society to turn on itself. And so, the thing is now with all of these things, and Lord God, Fauci, the patron saint of Wuhan, that little Nazi moron, is now saying, oh, yes, the blessing is here. You can all stop wearing masks and we're going to lift all of our. No, they don't want to let go of that control. Trust me, if they didn't, the DOJ wouldn't be in there trying to appeal the mask mandate reversal by the judge in Florida. Tampa Judge Mizell. Now, they wouldn't be in court trying to stop it because they don't want to let control. Folks, we have to say no. And did you know nearly 400 employees at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control have not gotten the COVID jab? This is according to data obtained exclusively by the Epoch Times. Well, bully for you guys. 382 workers at the CDC are unvaccinated, according to a FOIA request. Another 9 employees have had just one dose of Pfizer or Moderna, meaning they also don't qualify as fully vaccinated. You talk about that. That's 33.2% of the CDC's workforce are not vaccinated. And they declined to fully answer the Epoch Times FOIA request, which asked for more detailed figures that were current as of March 15th of this year. This is the kind of garbage we have to put up with. 22 countries around the world have dropped mask mandates since January of this year. As COVID narrative wanes, don't sing kumbaya, according to Merle Nass, who has been attacked. Even her law license or her medical license is being attacked. She says, I think the cabal's plan, at least in the U.S., but probably everywhere, should stop propping the ludicrous vaccine claims up and just allow them to die a natural death. And she explains that. We have that included in the email blast. Please, folks, if you don't have it or your friends don't have it, sign up and subscribe. Until next Monday, God be with you. God bless you. Stay safe. God bless the United States of America. Who's standing on the mountains? Who is on the earth below? Who is bigger than the heavens? And the lover of my soul. Creator God, He is Yahweh. Great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Sharon, He is Yahweh. Righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.